Hey, TJ, I was wondering the other day, man, whatever happened to Elijah Tatis?
You know what I think, Philly? You know what I think, man? First of all, to understand what happened to Elijah Tatis, you got to understand who Elijah Tatis, the ball player, was. Now, Elijah, he was born to a one-legged bitch of a mother. He was always ashamed of this man, always. And then right after, he's adopted by this man, Tito Leibowitz. He's a steroid runner and a Dominican baseball promoter. So he puts Elijah into training, and they see Elijah's good, man. He's damn good. And then he had the game of his life. They put him up against his brother, Fernando. And Elijah said, "Nah, man, that's my brother. I can't play against Nando." But they made him play anyway. And Elijah, he tagged Fernando out. And then he said, "That's it, man." He called off all his games, started doing crack, and then he freaked out, man. And in a rage, he collapsed. And his heart, it just no longer beat.
I never thought I'd say this to anybody, but you smoke entirely too much reefer.
This is true. Hey, what's going on, Philly? Been a couple weeks. How you doing, my guy? Good to see you again.
I'm doing great, man. The Mariners are on fire, and we got some awesome stuff on the episode this week. I'm excited to share with everybody. How you been?
For the first time in a long time, I can say that we got a nice little haul of prospects back at the trade deadline, as opposed to making a couple mediocre, middle-of-the-road moves to try to just get us enough to get into the playoffs. So some of those prospects we got back look pretty good. Forget the name at the moment, but the kid we got back from the Orioles, I think he had like 11 Ks through six innings the other day. So some really fun returns there. And yeah, man, having a good time with the hobby, sitting here looking at a big stack of cards. You and I are sending off to PSA. Bunch of Caminero home runs last night. Good times,
Oh,
bro.
yeah, we're recording this after a 5-for-8 in the doubleheader, three home runs and a couple of monsters in there. I mean, starting to kind of see it all come together, I think.
I'm excited about it. Real quick, I got a couple of quick shout outs. First and foremost, our sponsor, Card Kings in Tucson. Go check out my man Mike up here at Oracle in Orange Grove, cardkings.com. He does the breaks, the boxes. He's doing the MVP buyback. Only shop in Tucson doing that. So go check him out. Also, my man APC52 on Reddit, aka the Logo Man. Always coming through with some nice logos. Hook me up with a nice little avatar for my Instagram profile. So I just wanted to give him some love real quick.
Awesome. Are they already buying back the cards at the shop in Tucson?
Not yet, but he was the only shop doing it last year, and he's already ready to rock for it this year. I confirmed with him already. So they also did a little remodel in there. It's kind of slick, kind of slick.
Nice. Who are you thinking for the MVPs this year? Is it too
Well,
obvious?
I mean, we know in the AL, but the National League, has been Acuña, Acuña, Acuña. But Betts, Mookie still looks strong. And then I was, looking at some of Matt Olson's numbers. And I mean, he's already got what, 42 bombs. I think he's already got 100 ribbies. He looks pretty solid. So I don't think the National League is as set as people thought, but should be interesting, man, coming down the stretch. But in the American League, if it's not, Ohtani could just sit down tomorrow and say, "I'm not doing this no more," and he's going to win the trophy, probably the
Yeah,
Cy Young.
absolutely.
Well,
I
maybe
mean,
not the Cy, but definitely the MVP.
it sounds like he's skipping his next start, so maybe he's starting to pull back a little bit, just kind of wait for free agency and coast into the off season.
Yep, and then the Angels get a compensatory pick in return, and I am vindicated in the fact that that was the stupidest non-trade in the history of modern baseball. But anyway, so there's been some recent promotions lately. Philly, tell me a little bit about some of these guys. I know the
Yeah,
first one's a
absolutely.
homer pick.
Oh, it's a total homer pick, but he's tearing it up, so he may be a homer, but he's worth it. And that's Cole Young in the Mariner system. got bumped up to high A along with Gabriel Gonzalez a couple weeks ago. So this is a guy that's getting a lot of Daniel Murphy comps. And, you know, Daniel Murphy, you may think of as kind of like a so-so name, but this is also a guy that finished, you know, in the top five in MVP voting, constantly put up, you know, 2-3-4 war seasons. But they're saying Daniel Murphy with better defense and power potential, and he's already got a better hit tool at that age. So yeah, Murphy's peak was a 5.7. You know, I think the Mariners would happily take that at shortstop or second base over what they got right now. He's got an OPS over 1,000 since his 21-game promotion. He's getting a lot more love and hype on the prospect side of things, too. A lot of lists lately are putting him ahead of Harry Ford in the system rankings. So I think you're going to see his popularity and his value go up. Him and Emerson, Colt Emerson that they drafted, you might be hearing a lot of them, you know, as a great middle infield combo for the Mariners in the next 5 to 10 years.
Talking about that PSA sub I was just mentioning, one of Philly's subs. So Philly's got, what, 6 here that we're sending in? One of them's this nice Cole Young, class of 22, Bowman Chrome Auto out of 250. That's a sweet one. But if you're just looking for some basic stuff, his first Bowman Chrome Auto base, anywhere from 115 to 189. And it's kind of a large range there, but I think you'll see a lot of people when they list, you know, when they pull comps, they're maybe not the most efficient. So that's when I search for cards like that, I like to search for newly listed, right? And then just go through and try to catch somebody's, maybe he listed it for 120, pick it off real quick, jump on it. So he's a decent buy right now, not bad at all.
And what he's about got that Mariners buzz, you know, that everybody loves in the prospect world. And he's performing too, and that's impressive. He's only 19 in high A and doing that. So you got to have respect for that.
Yeah, Mariners farm system has a few hype worthy names at the moment. They're looking, future's looking bright. Speaking of hype, and shout out to Robert F. Baseball, but let's talk a little bit about his pride and joy, Ethan Salas.
Yeah, so I mean, Ethan Salas is 17-year-old. If you haven't heard the name yet, you've either been living under a rock or it's your first time, you know, checking out something prospect oriented. But this guy is 17 years old. They signed him. They didn't even put him in rookie league and instructs. They sent him right to low A ball. He tore it up. I mean, he had an 850 OPS. They thought so much of him that in the middle of an 0-for-16 streak, they bumped him up to high A. So, I mean, he's on the fast track. He's way ahead of his years. He's really on like a Pudge Rodriguez trajectory, if you think about it. Pudge started in the minors when he was 17. He was up in Texas by the time he was 19. And we all know he went on to an incredible Hall of Fame career. You don't want to assign that so early to a guy like Ethan Salas, but, you know, when his Bowman drops, hopefully in the fall, that's something, you know, probably in the next year or two, that's going to be, you know, a huge chip to have in your pocket.
As a Yadier Molina aficionado, if you will, if his ceiling is Pudge, I mean, you got to tip the cap, man. I mean, Pudge is that's a high ceiling. And that's one of the few guys when we start arguing about catchers that I have a hard time arguing against. You know what I mean? It's Pudge. Ethan Salas doesn't have a card yet. You know what I mean? I don't even think he's been in any of the Panini stuff.
So there's some redemption cards in the Panini products, like the 3-2 and then the Prism. But there's no actual printed cards yet. And those are just absolutely insane in terms of like pricing. If you want the rookie patch auto from Panini 3-2, I think people are spending upwards of $1,000 on it. And, you know, it's the first, and there's starting to be some team sets leaking out that have him as well. And people are splitting that off of the team set and selling it for a pretty penny as well. So nothing big time, nothing like Bowman tops, obviously, but a little bit starting to trickle out here and there.
Well, and as we'll talk about here in just a little while, he will be the headliner in Bowman Chrome this year. So when that set drops in September, forget about it. If you're trying to get in Padres break spots, we're talking Jackson Holliday hype. We're talking Jason Dominguez hype. We're talking, the hype that Ellie De La Cruz was getting like a month ago. We're talking that hype right now off top. So that's one of those guys where, you know, I don't advocate for chasing guys in breaks or ripping packs, but that's not going to be a buy singles situation.
No, I mean, you know, he's already getting labeled with the generational prospect type and everything. I mean, all the midseason lists have him now that people have seen him up to 5, 7, 10. I mean, he's getting the love, and I think the prices are going to definitely reflect that.
Well, speaking of guys who get the love with high prices, tell me a little bit about what Jackson Holliday is doing right now.
Oh, Jackson Holliday. I almost don't know why he's still in the minors. He got bumped up to double A after 15 games. He was hitting .393. Then he had another 5 for 6 game Friday night. So it's really hard not to envision him being up in 2024. You know, we've kind of gushed about him before. I don't think he's going to be power, you know, tools, but a left-handed Paul Molitor, a left-handed Robin Yount, something like that, where the guy can just hit the cover off the ball, get you 200 hits a year, going to play a solid shortstop and a great baseball acumen. I mean, what's not to love?
Yeah, man. And I mean, as a guy who had the pleasure of watching his dad play for a number of years, if he is anything like a chip off the old block, he's going to hit 300 in his sleep. I mean, you know, Matt Holliday was a monster. Maybe not a transcendent player, but a solid ass, everyday major league outfielder. And if you're looking for a Jackson Holliday, similar to what I said about Salas, I mean, his first Bowman Chrome, just a base auto, $440 right now, bro. That's the price of admission. So, you know, if you got lucky enough to pull something of his or hit something of his in a break, you're doing well. But it's just, you know, once they get to that point in the pricing already, and we're still talking about a guy in double A, good God, man. I mean, where do you get in on the price on that? I have a hard time justifying that. I mean, I just spent, you know, about that same amount of money on a ridiculous patch auto out of 5. You know what I mean? And I'll tease that a little bit. But I mean, we're talking about a base first Bowman Chrome auto. It's not graded. It's not a parallel. So yeah, the hype is certainly all behind Holliday. Here's a guy that I probably sold maybe about 6 months too soon on, Brooks Lee from the Twins. I know the kid can hit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he was a guy featured in 22 Bowman draft. He came out of college into the draft, and everybody said he'd be probably one of the first up to the bigs. Great hit tool. He's already in AAA now, and the Twins are hurting for bats. So, you know, if he starts turning it on, he might see the show, you know, next couple of weeks, honestly. You know, he's a guy, though, that isn't like one sexy tool, whether it's the hit, power, speed. He's just a well-rounded, you know, a lot of 55 grades, a few 60 grades. He's going to have a long, successful career, hit 300, 10 to 12 home runs, play a solid shortstop, third base. I mean, you love having a guy like that on your team.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of what I saw as well. I saw that he'd be a solid, you know, everyday type of player, but I didn't see anything that kind of jumped out of the, you know, off the page to me. So I had just a base first Bowman blue chrome, and it was nice, you know what I mean? But it was a situation where I sent it to my guy, Korean Tom Cruise. He said it's probably not going to gem. So, you know, I let it go at a raw price. So his first Bowman chrome auto base, he didn't have any in packs. They were only his redemptions. So he'll have some parallel autos, but to get his base auto, it looks like they're just kind of starting to come back. So if you're looking for the listings, the vast majority of them going to have that Tops sticker on the top. I like that because I don't know. I have nothing to justify this, but I feel like if I have a redemption, maybe I have a chance at having a higher grade on that card. Totally. Right? Maybe it's in a little bit better condition. So those are going for about $140 right now. Not terrible, not terrible. Just for perspective, I sold that base chrome blue for, I think, $85. So, you know, his pricing's up there. It reflects his performance so far.
Yeah, and he might be one of the last, you know, big prospect call-ups we get this year. You know, we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But, you know, if you kind of want to ride the hype train a little bit more this year, if he's not up, then you'd probably just hold until spring, and he probably makes the team out of spring training.
Oh, yeah, almost certainly. What about my guy Jackson Jobe? I'm surprised you brought a pitcher in here, Philly. Let's hear about it.
You know, every once in a while, you got to bring a pitcher in when people start throwing around some DeGrom comps. Mm-hmm. So Jackson Jobe, he was the number 3 overall pick back in 2021 by the Tigers. He missed the first several months this year with spine inflammation, but he's returned and really just wreaked hell on everybody he's faced. So far, 28 innings, 39 strikeouts, three walks. This is a guy with 355 grade pitches. You know, the sinker has been comped in movement to Jacob DeGrom. You know, that's pretty high praise. We'll see if it pans out and gets that far. His sliders absolutely knock out, probably a 65, 70 grade. He hits 96 regularly, has movement on it. So he's really got the pitch mix. He's got the stuff to be a starter. He really does have that high upside. You know, if you're looking for maybe a lower investment, you know, we kind of steer away from pitchers, but here's a guy who could be a name in 2-3 years, you know, as the Tigers are always hungry for pitching.
And yeah, so just to get back to it, yeah, his first Bowman Chrome, $30. First Bowman Chrome auto. It's not too crazy. You know, I always hesitate on pitchers. And then, you know, on the rare occasions that I do, I try to look at a lot of context. And we're going to get into this a little bit in the future when we talk about our safety guideline for the week. But, you know, I think about Tigers pitchers. I think about, you know, the recent past. I think about Casey Mize, mm-hmm. right? I think about Tarek Skubal. And I wonder, you know, how do those guys who are both, you know, high draft picks, highly touted, really hyped, and neither have really wowed anybody, you know, once they got to the show. So it makes you kind of think a little bit about, you know, the Tigers and the pitching development. What do they got going on? What are they doing to these guys? Are they rushing them? Are they, you know, stuff like that. Right. So, but nonetheless, yes, I mean, you start talking about DeGrom. It's kind of hard to get excited, not to get excited about, right?
Yeah, I mean, the kid has nasty stuff, but like you said, it's just a matter of, you know, how the Tigers are handling these guys. And, you know, he's already had one back injury, and that's, you know, at that age, there is a risk with that. I mean, back injuries are hard to get rid of. I mean, 39 years old, and I can tell you that.
Yeah, who you telling, bro? I'm locked up right now. So I know you went out and did something kind of sneaky, but also kind of super dope. So I've been talking about this guy for a long time, probably for the better part of 2 years, and some of his prospect write-ups and some of the stuff he's got going on. So, Philly, why don't you tell me what you went ahead and did?
Yeah, so TJ and I are both big fans of the website prospectslive.com. They provide breakdowns of all sorts of you know, amateur ball, whether it's the Cape Cod League, high school, draft reports, prospects. But one thing that they do that separates them a little bit from Baseball America is they do try and provide actual like prospect-related card breakdowns. So they just publish their midseason update for the top 100 prospects in the hobby. So I thought, hey, why don't we reach out to Joe Lowry, the writer of the article, see if we can get him on the show. So shot my shot, reached out on Twitter. We ended up having a nice little interview with him that we're going to play for you a little later on here.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet, man. And initially, you know, cause, if you just head over to the website and check out this guy's write-ups, and you'll see that this isn't just, you know, some guy, right? Like, he's putting in, you know, serious, legitimate professional work, and it's well-researched, and it's, you know, like I told him, you know, afterwards, and I kind of, you know, I started fanboying out a little bit, but I was like, your 2022 Bowman Chrome article is like the Bible to me. You know what I mean? That's, you know, how I found where I allocated my singles purchases and stuff like that. So we were going to try to get him on for 5 or 10 minutes. We ended up going for close to 45, 50
because
the stuff was so good. The stuff was so good. So yeah, he updated it, and I was really happy to see the top five and a lot of my guys that, you know, I'm highly invested in were pretty high up there. So yeah, that was a lot of fun, man. I'm glad to be able to bring that to you guys, and shout out to Philly for doing the legwork on that.
Yeah, definitely. It was a blast. Definitely encourage you guys to check that out. Again, that's prospectslive.com. Just to kind of give you a glimpse, their top five is some Jackson guys, Holiday and Caminero. Mm-hmm. Alan Churio right behind there, Jordan Lawler, James Wood. I mean, no big surprises there, but once you start getting down the list, it starts separating itself from just a standard top prospect list. You get more hobby emphasis. So that means, you know, less emphasis on pitching, less emphasis on catchers outside of guys like Ethan Salas. And then even pitchers on there, they're kind of marked for having that strikeout upside or, you know, the big potential. So mm-hmm. worth a read. Definitely check it out. And TJ, were there any surprises on there that we saw?
So, you know, you see Ethan Salas already at number 7, and it's, you know, it's hype. I feel like it's a lot of hype. And we've seen, you know, some from him, but, you know, nothing that is – is really going to be concrete. So, you know, it's exciting to see the hype, and it's definitely something that correlates. You know, that list, you can see that's not a Baseball America list. This isn't a Baseball Scout list. This is a baseball card hobby guy list. And that truly reflects that. So, you know, he's risen fast, and I'm sure when his cards come out, he's not going to be outside of the top five for very long. You know, it's often the case with, it's a lot of recency bias. The one thing that really stood out to me was to still see Drew Jones at 14. And that's just a testament to what I just said, that hype. I mean, this guy has played like four games, and I'm exaggerating, but I mean, that hype has lingered and stuck on him so much that he's still a top 15 prospect on this list. He's done absolutely nothing to justify that.
It's been a pretty miserable first year. I mean, he's back playing again, but you know, he's missed so much time that it's going to take a little bit for him to get his timing down, and you'll probably see him in the fall instructs, keeping going, get some momentum for next year, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah. You can only hope. What about you? Anything on there weird to you?
Yeah. Right behind Ethan Salas was Emmanuel Rodriguez, one of the Twins prospects. I think this is, you know, kind of one of the big chases from 2021 Bowman, you know, lauded for great tools. He's starting to show a little bit more of it this year. He's always had a great eye, takes the walks, has some tremendous power. He's in Double A right now. You know, you kind of have to ignore a little bit of the full season average numbers and just look at, you know, what's been going on lately. And he's really starting to produce, really starting to kind of live up to that billing a little bit. But, you know, number eight, we'll see if, you know, that validates it ahead of some of the other names on the list.
And then what about some guys that maybe slipped down a little bit? I saw Dominguez kind of dropping a little bit. Anybody else?
I mean, that's such a tough one. I think there's a little bit of, you know, hobby burnout on Dominguez. I mean, the guy's still 20, putting up, you know, 20-20 numbers in Double A, high on base percentage, not great average. So that tells you, you know, a little bit of strikeouts and a little bit of bad luck on the batted balls. But, you know, he's still a Yankee. He's still that, he's still the Martian. So, you know, it might be an opportunity just to snag some Dominguez while you're at it.
Yeah, he was Ethan Salas in 2020. Right. He was, you know what I mean? These hyped guys, he was Jackson Holliday. He was all of that. But it's, as you see Jackson Holliday climbing up the system, we're talking about when's he going to get promoted. You don't really hear anybody saying that about Dominguez. And, you know, being the hype that it was in 2020, guys put some serious money down on that guy, bro. I mean, I was watching breaks. I mean, Yankees break spots were going for $500-$600. You get hyped up if you hit a first Bowman paper base, and guys are flipping out. They're throwing confetti up in the air. It was crazy. So yeah, it's kind of a testament to, you know, like we talked about with Drew Jones, 3 years down the line, he's still got some hype, but now it's kind of finally starting to wear off, because at a certain point, the on the field has to justify the hype, or you know, it ultimately will die down.
And yeah, and again, the thing is like, he's not putting up tremendous numbers where you can't keep him in the minors. He's just putting up okay numbers, but he's 20. You know, all these guys take, you know, different times to develop. I'm sure the Yankees would love to have him ready by now, but isn't the case.
I mean, for a guy they called the Martian, and they were comping him to Mickey Mantle and stuff like that. It's, you know what I'm saying? You got to see some of that. You got to see some of that. Elijah Green, I saw drop quite a bit. I mean, the guy's striking out. 4 or 5 out of
K rate, yeah.
Yeah, it's that's going to be hard, man. That's not sustainable. My guy Curtis Meade, I think the Rays are just a little crowded, bro. What do you think about that one?
I think that's part of it. You know, he maybe had a little hype when he got the call up. He was injured, you know, earlier in the year, so he was kind of off the radar, came back, had a great couple weeks and got the call up. And now he's kind of just part-time, so he's really not getting those in-your-face opportunities like some of the other prospects to really, you know, keep him in the limelight. And that's maybe hurting his value a little bit, but still he has a great bat, great future ahead of him. And, you know, the Rays are always, you know, frugal when it comes to contracts and players. So who knows who they might move out next and find a spot for Meade with.
And they've got so many guys that you're talking. I mean, we talk about Junior Caminero every 5 minutes. You talk about Xavier Isaac. I mean, there's just studs all over the place.
Don't forget Chandler Simpson. I mean,
Chandler Simpson, who I made the mistake of, you know, bashing one time in a break, and now the son of a bitch is just getting called up all over the place. You want to talk about Marco Luciano? Because you know my feelings on the subject.
No, I think, you know, Luciano still has a bright future ahead of him. They just gave him 3-4 games up at the show to see what they had going on with him. He was doing pretty well in AA and AAA, but he's back down now. So if you didn't sell anything, you know, hold on to it. He's going to get his moment again, and he's probably going to look pretty good eventually. Again, the Giants aren't shy about playing their young players. They've done it this year with some guys, but you know, people didn't really expect big things from, like, Patrick Bailey, Casey Schmidt. So, you know, Marco Luciano this time next year, you know, might be a solid starting regular for the Giants and get a nice little bump.
Junior Caminero came out of middle school, played double A.
oh, I've heard that somewhere before.
Yeah. So are we getting into the guideline for this week?
Yeah. So kind of wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, going the route of teams and farm systems that develop well and kind of how that might impact your choices.
Yeah. So we kind of touch on it from time to time, but I think it's nice to elaborate it on a little more, kind of what we mean when we're talking about that, right? So, you know, the prospect game is so many different little things that kind of add up to one big thing, which is the, you know, potential success of the prospect. So, you know, first thing we're looking at tools, right? That's what the kid is bringing to the table. But then once he gets to the table, what kind of table is he coming to, right? Is he coming to a full table with wise individuals that are all interested in his, you know, betterment and ultimate development? Or is he coming to sit at, you know, the Chicago White Sox table? You know what I'm saying? Where there's a little bit of chaos and guys are slapping each other in the locker room and all this other kind of stuff. It's all things that are good to be considered. And I think historically you'll see that a lot of these teams have developed prospects well and have taken guys and at a minimum graduated them to the minors or put them in a position to succeed. You also have to think about injuries, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I think that it's pretty clearly defined that there are some teams that do well in this aspect, you know, prospect development. Mm-hmm. And there's some teams that just historically don't do as well. So I've got a couple teams that, you know, if these are your teams, hey, we're going to talk about it today, bro. So, you know, send your hate mail straight to Philly. He's on Twitter.
but I'll take you anytime.
So I've got a few, Philly. You got a couple? You want to go back and forth? Or
yeah, we'll go back and forth a little bit.
All right. So let's start with the good, right? Let's start with the good and we'll finish on the bad. First team, I would say that, you know, you really can't find a hole in that wall. That's going to be the Tampa Bay Rays, bro. They find them, they steal them from other teams, AKA Junior Caminero. They get the hype guys, they bring them up and do them right, you know, AKA Wander Franco. They got pitchers all over the place that you've never even freaking heard of. Just guys that coming out of nowhere. You know, Shane McClanahan, you know, they seem to get the best of every single deal. If the Rays GM's calling you, trying to swap you prospects, you got to be careful, man. You got to be leery around these guys. You talk about Josh Lowe, you talk about Vidal Bruján, you talk about Shane Baz. Now, varying degrees of success based on injuries, etc., but it's really hard to find a hole in that system, man. They do it well. They operate on a small budget, and they compete with the big boys year in, year out. They know when to sell these guys out. They know when to buy. It's a beautiful thing to watch.
Well, absolutely, and I mean, they're kind of their own hype machine as well. I mean, if Junior Caminero was on any other team, he'd still probably be getting the acclaim, but would he be top five? Hard to say. You know, because they're Tampa Bay, they get a little extra love on breaks, you know, a little extra love on who they got prospect wise. And, you know, look at their draft last year, Xavier Isaac. You know, everybody wanted to poo-poo it. And again, he's cracking into top 100s now. So they know something, you know, they know something we don't, and that's how they win.
Yeah, I would have to agree, man. That's got to be, you know, if it's not the top, they got to be in the top two or three in terms of, you know, teams that do it and do it well. I got a controversial one for my next one.
Ooh, lay it on me.
So I would say the Oakland A's historically have done a good job in that department. I mean, we talked about Olsen already. Yeah. You talk about Matt Chapman. Now, disclaimer, none of these guys are currently on the A's, right. But we're talking about the development, right? So, you know, the A's play in the bottom of the barrel. If you haven't seen Moneyball, go watch it. It's actually a pretty decent baseball movie. They're looking for the diamonds in the rough. They polish them up. They get them up to the bigs, and then they sell them high. And they just, you know, hopefully one day, I guess, they think they're going to win a World Series with a bunch of 22-year-olds. I don't know what the strategy is, but, you know, they've always done well at finding major leaguers, turning them into major leaguers, and then, you know, running them out of town. But what are your thoughts on the A's?
No, I think there's something to that. You know, kind of in the prospect game, when it comes to cards, it's not about, you know, whether they win or not in the big leagues. It's about, you know, what they look like getting to the show. So, you know, they do develop guys. That's been their strategy, you know, since the early 2000s. They've developed winners. They've developed players that go on. I mean, look at Matt Olson, like you said, 42 home runs. The guy passed Shohei already. Absolute beast. Matt Chapman's going to get one of the biggest deals in free agency this year. Mm-hmm. So they can develop. You know, they've got Soderstrom up now. They trade, they reload. Some of these guys panned out. Asturi Ruiz, you know, he's mm-hmm. been a great player for them. You know, as far as Oakland goes, he's probably the most hobby loved this year. You know, decent price. So I don't disagree with that at all. You know, big league results aside, they develop.
Absolutely. You got one, or you wanted me to keep running them off?
Actually, I'm going to give you a bad one, maybe one to stay away from.
Okay.
So the Florida Marlins, Miami Marlins, however you want to call it, you know, they can't develop hitting for the life of them. So if you're comfortable buying pitching, you know, when you go breaks, guys like Yuri Perez, they're fantastic. But any investment in actual hitters on Miami's part, be very wary. That's why they go out and trade for a guy like Luis Arraez. They have pitching to pull from, but whatever it is about their system, they just can't develop hitting right now.
Hard agree on that. Hard agree on the Marlins. They do well on the pitching side of things, but when it comes to the, you know, the bats and the position players, they really don't bring a lot to the table. It's kind of sad, but yeah, I mean, they brought a lot of beast pitchers up over the years and taking guys from other systems like Sandy Alcantara, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And really, you know, just kind of gotten the most out of them. You know, I like another good team. You know, I think the Dodgers are a team that yeah. historically always does well. You know, they do really well in the international market. They do a good job of developing guys, bringing them up to the bigs. Lots of recent examples, lots of past examples. They're always competitive. You know, I think they do really well with where they choose to put their prospects. What do you think of the Dodgers?
No, I think, you know, they're for all the money they spend, I think the terrifying part is how scary deep their farm system constantly is. And that's because they're not afraid to go out in the draft and get guys they like and believe in. They're not afraid to shell out money in the international free agency. So year after year, they can trade off guys, bring in new studs. And next thing you know, system's reloaded somehow. You know, their double A rotation this year and all the guys have come up, Emmett Sheehan, Gavin Stone, Bobby Miller. I mean, there's four more guys behind them and there's guys in DSL that are the next wave. So they don't stop.
Yeah, Dodgers, they're always loaded. They're always reloading. Talking about pitching, Cleveland, that's a team, that's yeah. an organization that does really well on the pitching side of things. Maybe, you know, it could be arguable with position players, but a lot of nasty pitchers coming out of Cleveland all the time.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Cleveland has done all right with some kind of low-risk, high-reward infield prospects as well. You know, the guys like Rosario and Andrés Giménez. Have turned into nice players. I don't know if they're, you know, investment worthy per se, but they're fielding a decent team, but they can't hit very well. So it's, you know, the jury's kind of out on the offensive side. But yeah, Gavin Williams, Tanner Bibee, these guys coming up this year. If you like those pitching investments, I mean, those guys are pretty solid.
Yeah, absolutely. And then my final good pick is I'm going to go homer and I'm going to go ahead and throw the Cardinals in there. I'm going to bring up Jordan Walker. I'm going to bring up Mason Winn. I'm going to bring up, you know, Dylan Carlson came up, several pitchers. There was a time, you know what I mean, in the late, you know, the early 2010s where just about everything we brought up worked. You know what I mean? You talk about a bunch of John Jays and Skip Schumachers and Jason Motts and guys like that that, you know, were consistently, you know, they call them the baby birds, right? Daniel Descalso, just lots of guys that just kind of came out of nowhere and turned into solid major league contributors. But, you know, recently you got Nolan Gorman, right? Jordan right. Walker, some guys with some big bats. Mason Winn looks like a stud. I think the Cardinals kind of had a little gap there, but we're turning back into one of those teams where, you know, the farm system's usually pretty loaded and they do develop kids well.
Yeah, I mean, they've gotten the criticism for what they've done with developing starting pitching. But, you know, they are developing major league capable bats. And eventually, you know, they're going to bundle some of those and put together a rotation again that's, you know, enough to win the division. So you got to like what they're doing.
All right. So now it's time to shit on some teams. I'm going to start with the Angels, my favorite team to hate. You talk about a team that does a terrible job of trading guys away, does a terrible job of developing guys, a.k.a. Joe Adell, does a horrible job. You know, you get drafted by the Angels, Well, you better be ready to get called up. Ask Zach Neto. I mean, you ready to go. Ask Logan O'Hop. I mean, if he didn't blow out his whole shoulder, he'd be playing in the bigs right now. You know, they're so top heavy in the payroll with Trout, Otani, Rendon. They're probably still paying Pujols some money. They're probably still paying Josh Hamilton. I mean, who knows with a lot of these guys? You know, they're so top heavy and their system is so thin that they're forced to just shove these guys in a position where they're really not going to have a chance to succeed. I mean, Zach Neto was playing college ball a year ago. You know what I mean? So, you know, I can't say enough bad things about the Angels and the way they do business. It's just not encouraging, man. Go ahead and give it to them.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the big criticism there is that it feels like they're drafting for need. You know, in the NBA, the NFL, when you're, you know, plug and play starters from day one, maybe that's something you can do. But in Major League Baseball, you know, you need to be emphasizing taking those home run swings, so to speak, and going for guys with high talent. You know, Sean Will, their first round pick this year, he's probably going to be a good on base machine, but they picked a first baseman that probably could have gone 20 picks later just because they thought they could get him to the show as soon as possible. You know, whereas there's plenty of guys on the board that actually have legitimate star upside after that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's definitely a gambling risk. I mean, I think the Angels are going to eat enough of our shit over the years now to really feel bad, and hopefully they'll make some changes eventually.
I'm going to definitely do a off-season surprise episode when Ohtani signs somewhere else and the Angels basically have to eat it. So another one, moving on the let's dump on your fan base train, Kansas City Royals, man. Terrible in the major leagues, terrible in the farm system. You know, you had a lot of, you know, pretty hype guys coming up over the years. There's really not a lot to show for it. Witt is, you know, kind of up and down. I don't think he's quite the transcendent player that everybody thought he was around this time last year. Not really a lot to get excited about in KC, man. I guess they got that World Series trophy, but after that, I'm not sure what's going on over there, bro.
Yeah, it's been a long, slow rebuild for them. I mean, you got to wonder if Witt would be a little bit better with some protection in the order. I mean, the guys around him are, you know, 4A players. It's not exactly an impressive lineup. Salvador Perez isn't hitting 40 at home runs again. You know, Melendez isn't panning out as they thought. Pascatino's been hurt. So really, a lot of the exciting guys are kind of, like you said, busting out a little bit. The pitching, really non-existent for all the guys that keep developing. So it's definitely a letdown system, and they're going to be, you know, in the top 10 again in the draft because of it.
All right, I got another controversial one. You ready?
Always.
What about the Yankees? So, you know, they spend a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, they do spend a lot of money. They bring in the big international free agents. They get Dominguez. They get Maeda, who we'll talk about a little bit later. They do pull some nice guys, and they get some high draft picks. But a little bit of it is, you know, hype because it's the Yankees. But you look at even a guy like Anthony Volpe, who's top five prospect. I mean, he's gotten better of late. But is he, you know, already a transcendent star or even a just regular star? I don't think so.
Yeah, what happened to Andujar? And you know what I mean? Exactly. There's a bunch of guys, you know, Gleyber Torres, and you know what I'm saying? There's just a lot of guys that didn't quite, you know, kind of do what they wanted to do. And the majority of what the Yankees do successfully is because of, you know, the money they spend. So I don't know, man. I'm going to put that one in the maybe, in the neutral column, right? But I'm not sure that I would put the Yankees as a successful one. That, you know, they get the names, but what do they do with the names? A lot of these kids come to the show and it doesn't really pan out, I guess.
They don't develop, but, you know, there's a lot of hobby love for them just because there's so many Yankee fans. So it's sort of a, you know, win-win situation, I guess. You know, if you sell them, you're not missing out on holding, you know, a guy in 10 years that you're going to regret. But at the same time, you might make a fair bit of money off of a card for a guy that gets called up.
This is true. All right, I got one last one, and then I'll see if you got any more. I want to hit the White Sox really quick. Ooh. White Sox do really well in the international market in terms of bringing in the names. For some reason, particularly with Cuba, right? So they must have a really good Cuban scout or something going on down there because they do really, really well with that. But, I mean, you talk about guys like Eloy Jimenez, Yoan Moncada, Luis Robert.
guys that have just, you know, all this hype, all this potential, they get to the show and it just kind of falters, right?
Yeah.
You know, this is another one, bad on the field, bad in the system. You know, Oscar Colas, another guy, ton of hype, all the tools, gets to the show, and what are we really doing here?
Fourth outfielder. I mean, he's, yeah.
They need a hard reset. They need a hard reset.
Absolutely. I mean, they got, you know, some guys down the pipeline like Colson Montgomery. You know, he spent most of the year injured, but it's coming back strong. He's getting a lot of Corey Seager comps. You know, you hope that works out for him. Noah Schultz, their first round pick last year, big left-hander. He's really dialed it in. He might be cracking some top 100s. You know, even the names they got back, you know, at the trade deadline, Edgar Caro is maybe the best one. But, you know, we talked about him a little bit, you know, last episode when our trade breakdown, you know, he might be a starting catcher. He might be a mediocre first baseman. It's hard to say still.
Yeah, not a lot to love in the White Sox system. It's kind of hard to get excited. I mean, you saw what they did to Elijah Tatis, right? I mean, it's
right, exactly. We heard things.
All right. Any other teams you want to bang on or give a little love to?
No, one team I think I'm changing my opinion on a little bit this year is Boston. You know, there's definitely some prospects that got caught up in the hype machine, Tristan Casas, Jaron Duran, that, you know, were struggling for the last year, year and a half even. But all of a sudden, they're putting it together. And, I mean, that team's starting to look pretty stacked. They've got guys coming behind, Sedan Rafaela. He's going to be great in center field or shortstop, second base. I mean, kind of a Mookie 2.0 for the Sox. So I'm changing my tune a little bit, and I think they do have something good going on there.
And one particular thing, and you'll see this, it's, you know, a lot of teams do it, but some teams do it more or better than others. But the Red Sox are always very active in the international market, right? Mm-hmm. Particularly in the Asian market. And they're not as afraid to bring on, I know I've talked about it before, but like a Dice K or a Yoshida or, you know, anything like that. So it's really fun to kind of see a lot of the teams. You know, the A's are another team that does that quite often. The Cardinals have been pretty big on that. They're not afraid to dip their toes in that market. So yep. I always like to see, you know, guys that are coming in, you know, that we haven't really seen that much of, or we're looking at KBO highlights and things like that. And the Red Sox, you know, they're not afraid to go in and go in hard. They go after the biggest guys when their bidding comes up.
Oh yeah. And that's definitely an evolving market. Just this last week, the Dodgers signed the number one KBO prospect. Kid was supposed to go number one in the draft overall. Said, no, I don't want to play in the KBO. I'd rather go to America and develop there and just go straight to the major league route. So, you know, KBO oftentimes gets kind of the rap of maybe being an A, double A comp in terms of skill level. So the guy coming over here, you know, it's going to take a couple of years, but they might have something pretty special as a pitcher there.
Yep. All right, so there are three big holidays every year regarding this podcast. You got Bowman, right? You got Bowman Chrome, and you got Bowman Draft. So why don't you tell me about one of my upcoming holidays?
Yeah, well, it sounds like we might have a tentative date for Bowman Chrome. According to CardboardConnection.com, great site, you know, for release dates, for checklists, you name it. They're looking at September 13th. Now, it hasn't been confirmed by Topps or Fanatics as of yet, but usually Cardboard Connection's pretty good, and that seems to be the word on the street that mid-September is the release date. So, countdown till Christmas is on.
That's right, man. And Bowman Chrome is one of the ones I get most excited about every year. It's, you know, each Bowman release is a little bit different. So I break it down again. I always do. It's probably annoying. But, you know, Bowman Chrome is basically your international prospect signings. That's going to be the bulk of your checklist. Bowman Draft, of course, is, you know, your draft picks, and then Bowman that comes out as a little bit of both, kind of whoever got left out of that, you know, those checklists, if you will. So
yeah, I think we're going to touch on some names here in a second, but why don't we take a quick music break? We're going to play a band from one of our members on the Discord, Alex. This is called the Reagan Era Rejects. They're out of Houston. Nice hardcore band. Check them out on Spotify. They have a new EP coming out in October, and I can't imagine that we won't have them back then as well. And then we're going to be back, talk about some names for Bowman Chrome, and then we're also going to have our interview with Joe Lowry from ProspectsLive.com.
Hey.
Yeah.
Damn, Alex doing big things, man. I like the way that sounds.
That was pretty badass right there.
Yeah,
we're going to have a little bit more at the end of the show, too, so make sure to listen in.
Nice. We'll let him play us out, and then everybody go check him out, man. I can't wait for that EP. Alex, I expect a download or a, I don't know, man, I'm old. Can I get a CD or something like that?
I think we'll get an 8-track for you. That should be able to.
I'm old, but I'm not that old.
Yeah, and again, that's the Reagan Era Rejects. You can find him on Spotify. You know, friend of the Discord, friend of the show. So check him out.
Yeah, my man Alex Bugs, he's doing big things. I like to hear it, man. If anybody else, I mean, if you got some music, you know somebody who's making music, please reach out. Philly's kind of the behind the board guy. If you guys haven't figured it out by now, all I do is show up and talk. Philly's really doing all the work. But please reach out to Philly and let him know what you got going on. And we would love to get you on a future episode of the pod.
All right, welcome back. We are joined now by Joe Lowry from Prospects Live. He is a writer and contributor there, also one of the hosts of the Local Card podcast on the Prospects Live stream. Joe, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
We're really excited to have you on, my man. I'm a huge fan of everything that you're putting out there. I utilize your information as a tool and a resource. Spend a little bit of money on your accord. I just want you to know.
I appreciate that.
So we talked a little bit earlier in our episode about the recent list you put out, the top 100 prospects for the hobby. Kind of wondering if you could explain to our listeners kind of some of the measurings that you came about in determining that list.
Yeah, you know, we all grew up where, you know, way back in the day, the only real lists out there were for real baseball, right? Eventually, as fantasy baseball grew, you know, the fantasy baseball list started popping up. And, you know, it was, as I got back into card collecting, there was just nowhere to go to have a list that was focused on hobbies for prospect collectors, right? Mm-hmm. And it was always something that I wanted to do as I got into kind of becoming the hobby voice for Prospects Live, but I didn't want it to be a singular voice. I didn't want to just be my voice. And in 2023, we brought on another really great mind in the hobby space, Max Arterburn. And I took that opportunity and said, look, you know, now that we got two voices here, I think we can put out a hobby list, a top 100 prospects for the hobby, because we're both big prospect guys. You know, I play Dynasty Baseball. I follow prospects big time. I love collecting prospect cards. You know, you get that thrill, that gamble, because you just don't know what you're getting. And it's even, you know, more unknown with what these guys really will be. And so it's a lot harder to figure out what's important in the hobby space. Now, some of it translates between the real baseball, the fantasy baseball, and the hobby. And some of it makes no sense at all between the three, right? And yeah, so absolutely. What we kind of wanted to point out is, hey, those things still matter that people in the real baseball world as well as the fantasy baseball world are interested in. But there's other things, again, that don't matter over there, or that kind of do but matter much more in the hobby, right? As you know, the classic commercial, right, it has so much meaning for the hobby, which is chicks dig the long ball. It is mm-hmm. The hobby digs the long ball, right? Power and home runs are the sexy highlights that drive collecting interest, right? And so mm-hmm. When it comes to what we were focused on in our hobby list is some of the standard stuff, right? You've got your five tool players, the players that don't have any weaknesses in the traditional five tools. You've got your plus offensive tools, you know, the hit, power, and speed. In the hobby, we don't really care so much about defense and how strong your arm is. It's nice to have, but they don't really drive hobby interest. And then, the pitcher side, you know, ace pitchers and that type of stuff. But what really kind of differentiates them in the hobby on top of those things from a prospect is prospect pedigree. You know, whether it's rational or not, if the player was a high draft pick, if the player is well known, like a high dollar international signing, you know, like Jason Dominguez, mm-hmm. that pedigree is very important because it's almost a marketing aspect. It's a brand name. It's something that the masses recognize, right?
100%. And then
you've got team context, right? So team context is, you know, kind of a combination of things. Basically, team collectability, right? You've got the big names, you know, the Yankees, the Cubs, the Dodgers, the Red Sox, and then there's a few others kind of that hover around there. You know, I know a lot of Mariners fans, so I feel like the Mariners have a strong collecting base.
Oh yeah, you gotta cost pay a little extra to get in on the breaks and find the singles.
Indeed. And then there's teams like the A's, like the Rockies, like the Marlins. Even when they have good prospects, they're still not overwhelmingly expensive teams to buy in breaks or to buy their singles, right? So there's that plus the organization's ability to develop that talent, right? You're not going to, for whatever reason, right? The Marlins are really good at developing pitchers and really terrible at developing hitters, mm-hmm. right? I don't get it, but it's the reality of the current situation. So, and then the final piece of that team context is that the team needs that type of a player, right? So that there's not a ton of players blocking them and preventing them from getting there soon, right? In the hobby, our windows are often too small. I don't like it, but it's the way it is, right? If I have to wait 4 or 5 years for a player, I better, you know, have a strong constitution, you know, and a good right. bankroll to be able to do that, right? And so the closer they are, the better it is from a hobby perspective. The more opportunity they have, the better it is from a hobby perspective, right? And finally, you know, the hobby hype. You know, going back to the Jason Dominguez, I mean, his hype off the charts, right? Yeah, a more recent example coming out of the draft was Drew Jones, right? And even though we all were in on Drew Jones, the reality is that he's been, you know, he's had an injury and he's not shown the talent that we thought he had from the perspective of, you know, we've gotten some really, really bad reports from people who have had live looks plus other scouts on his swing. His swing is not good. And yet you can still sell his cards, right? Because there is that hobby hype. Now, when it comes to fantasy baseball in a dynasty league, you know, people are trying to trade you Drew Jones. The sharks in your dynasty leagues aren't interested. The people who aren't so plugged in, yeah, they still just recognize the name, right? It's the name value. Big name. It's that hobby hype still sells Drew Jones cards. But, you know, be wary, right? So, and then pitchers, you know, you want the strikeouts, you want the K upside guys. You know, as good as Kyle Hendricks was for years with the Cubs, he doesn't sell cards because he's not, you know, getting a ton of strikeouts, right? And you want the fancy pitches, right? You want the pitcher ninja gifts, right? You want the social media watching these guys just throw pitches that bend, you know, across the plate like crazy. Like, how is this even possible for humans to throw that? So those are kind of the ways we framed the players that we ranked. We don't want to just give a dry list. You know, that was our first pass at it, was, hey, here's just a straight list of our thoughts. And then this second iteration that we did in the midseason, we wanted to give you more context without writing up walls of text, because we do that plenty. We do that plenty of other places, but we wanted to make this very digestible, but still giving you a bit of places to go. Hey, you know, I want to go after the guys with hobby hype because I know I can flip those guys still. You know, I can buy their cards, I can sell their cards, so I'm going to target those guys. And so that's kind of the approach we took.
And that's what I really like about it. Just, you know, it's not paralysis by analysis. It's really easily digestible. And there, like you said, there's multiple angles to look at this. You can look at it from a hobby hype perspective, or you can play the long game and play a little bit more, you know, baseball scout kind of perspective. And, you know, depending on your angle, there's some information in there for you that you can look at a glance. We're not breaking down exit velocities and wOBAs and all these other kinds of, you know, random stats and things like that. So I like it. I can look at it real quick. I can find a guy's name. I can see two or three quick hits on why he is where he is on that list. Bam, you're done. It's great work. I appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure.
So question for you. You know, big name popping up a lot lately. Ethan Salas. You guys have him at number 7. So in terms of hobby hype in this list, I mean, he is a catcher, but how high do you think he could be by this time next season?
So, yeah, when we like to say it's the $1 million question, it really truly is the $1 million question because of the money involved, right? And
absolutely,
and, you know, in the hobby, catchers, you know, it goes in the hierarchy. At the bottom is pitchers, and then the next level up is catchers, you know, and it's a challenge because the position is so difficult to play. They're in the line of fire. They're beaten down. They're so susceptible to injury, and they're only playing typically 120, 130 games a season at most. Right. So they can't get the cumulative stats, right? And so it's a really difficult place to succeed, and you want to tread lightly when you're buying catcher cards if you're thinking about it from a money purpose. There are transcendent players, though, right? We see a couple every kind of, you know, so many years, right? And the last one we had was Adley, right? Rutschman. And to a certain degree, he's pretty much delivering on it. I think he's just going to get better and better, right? You know, me being a Giants fan, it was Buster Posey. And I think, you know, he's not fetching the prices of his contemporaries that were huge players as well, right? You know, you go and try and buy an Albert Pujols rookie card, right? It's slightly not a contemporary, but they basically play during the same time. And you go and try and buy a Buster Posey card, you're paying a quarter of the price, right? Mm-hmm. And they're both going to be Hall of Famers. Now, Pujols did, you know, amazing things. You know, going off the beaten track here, but Salas, to me, can get, I want to say, as high as two. I don't think Jackson Holliday can be beaten out for the top spot. Mm-hmm. I think the guys that we have ahead of him, right? Churio, Caminero, James Wood, I think they're all strikeout prone, and that, you know, in their slumps can lead to potential concerns if those slumps persist for a length of time. I think Marcelo Mayer, who we have right in front of him, is at his ceiling right now. He's more there from a team context and hobby hype and prospect pedigree perspective. At the end of the day, I don't think he's got the kind of five tool set, you know, scenarios in play, the plus tools. He's from a hobby perspective, he's a great shortstop, right? He's got a great arm and he does everything well, but he's not going to, you know, set the world on fire from an offensive perspective. But he's playing for the Red Sox. He was a top, you know, five draft pick, and, you know, his name's on everyone's lips. He was the headliner of 2021 Bowman draft. His picture was on the box, right? So everyone kind of knew him, but I think that's a ceiling. I think Salas is going ahead of him. And so I think the only one that truly can keep Salas out of number two is Dylan Cruz. Now, the other one that, you know, for the Diamondback fans, Jordan Lawler is in there too. I'll throw him in. But to me, I feel this time next year, Lawler's in Arizona. I think he's graduated. Mm-hmm. I think he'll make the team out of spring training next year, even though he's only in AA right now. You know, there's not, I don't know what their solution at third base is, but whatever it is, it's not good. And Kettle Marte can't be, you know, healthy, you know, on a regular basis. So they'll figure it out. Perdomo's played well. He's played kind of above his head, in my opinion. Lawler's the better offensive player. Perdomo's probably the better defensive player. So they'll figure a way to work it out. And Lawler, to me, graduates. So that, to me, leaves Dylan Cruz as the only potential kind of block for Salas not to make it up to two. And honestly, you know, and we probably touch on this later, the prospects, there's been so many graduations that the top of that list has really thinned out.
Yeah.
And so it gives Salas a big opportunity to keep going up and up. I mean, as you're seeing, and you guys talked about Baseball America, Baseball Prospectus, MLB Pipeline just came out with their top 100. In the real baseball world, Salas is getting into the top 10s all over the place as well. So that, in and of itself, drives some of that hobby hype, because people look at these lists for their hobby decisions as well. And they're seeing Salas up there as well. So,
yeah, I mean, he's an exciting player. He's already 17 in high A. I mean, he's on the Pudge trajectory, so who knows what's next.
Yeah, and the Padres are not afraid to push their prospects. So he's if he doesn't hit major obstacles, they're going to keep pushing him. And you know, they don't have much in the way of anything at that position. You know, Campusano's okay, and then retreads, right? So he's got a clear path.
Absolutely. So if that was the million-dollar question, I guess the billion-dollar question is, who are you thinking might be the next Ellie in terms of like a hobby captivating five tool phenom? And is there still time to get in on that?
I definitely think so. It depends on how much proximity you care about or not, but I'll throw you a couple names. So Reese White, who's a scout with Prospects Live, he was just on a recent Prospects Live podcast called The Backfields. And he was talking about Reese said his name is pronounced Dion Jorge, but it's D-Y-A-N. He's a shortstop in the Rockies organization. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he called him Ellie Light. And he was in 2022 Bowman Chrome, I believe. And the thing with Jorge is he hasn't shown any power yet, but everything else he's got. So 6'4", super athletic, fire hose for an arm, and you know the sky's the limit. His swing is pretty linear right now, so he's just hitting a lot of line drives, a lot of ground balls, and not putting the ball in the air. He's not putting the ball over the fence, but he's hitting it, smacking it hard. So if I had to pick a guy kind of lower down, probably cheaper, he would be the kind of target I would go for, and I would just watch to see if he does start putting the ball in the air more. I mean, there's the other guys, right? The, you know, as I already said, James Wood, right? He's got that five tool set kind of thing, but he's already kind of
hit
you know, high levels of expense and hype and helium, right? And another one that's kind of popped, and he's got strikeout problems, but that's the same package as Ellie, right?
Exactly.
Sebastian Walcott, another big dude for the Rangers, you know, on a lot of lips, you know, from scouts to the hobby this year. Hopefully he gets a Bowman coming up here in Bowman Chrome in this September. Fingers crossed. And he's got strikeout issues, but he's got all the tools as well. And then, you know, there's another guy kind of similar in the Royals org named Austin Charles. He hasn't hit much, but he's got that same kind of setup, you know, tall guy, long levers. There's power there. The hit tool's not there yet, but if the hit tool comes along, that's that same skill set. And then a couple of deeper names in the DSL, Joandry Vargas for the Dodgers, just absolutely crushing the DSL. And he's got that same type of taller, lankier frame at 6'4". You know, I being a Giants fan, I'll throw in there Rainer Arias, but he doesn't have that same frame. He's only like 6'1", but he's athletic and he's got the five tools as well. But
well, he absolutely destroyed the Dominican League this year. Yeah.
Yeah, he was on a world tour of mashing the DSL until he got hurt. So yeah, I'm in on Rainer, but he doesn't quite fit it because he's not got that uber height that just, you know, takes balls out by flicking his wrists and hitting over the wall.
Right. Hey guys, Dion Jorge is cheap, bro.
Yes.
He's in 2023 Bowman, you can. I mean, his red 5 out of 5 auto PSA 9 went for $499.
Yeah.
So there are steals to be had. So I mean, I'm sorry, I'll be honest with you. I didn't hear like the last 38 seconds of anything you said. I'm on eBay right now.
I don't blame you. Yeah.
I mean, before the interview gets out, you might as well capitalize.
Yeah. I'm not joking. I'm taking notes.
So another guy we saw on the list who we were kind of curious about, because it sounds like the industry has him all over the place right now, and mm-hmm. that's Emmanuel Rodriguez for the Minnesota Twins. You guys have him at number 8. What is it you're seeing and hearing that has him so high?
Yeah, so it's funny that that Bobby said that, because 2 years ago in the – or no, the spring of 2022. So Emmanuel Rodriguez was in 2021 Bowman Chrome. And he was a crush of mine when I did my product preview. I went through that product and didn't like feel comfortable enough to make him like a tier one player, because I knew his faults. But the video I watched, and then I talked to a scout on the ground that used to be a scout for Prospects Live and now is a scout for the Orioles. And 2021 Bowman Chrome had like 5 or 6 different Twins prospects with first Bowman's cards in it. And I went to him like, all these guys just seem like just a guys. But when I watched Emmanuel Rodriguez, I went, holy, you know what? And he looks like a dude. And yeah. And that guy said, yes, he's a dude. You better believe it. And so that there's a little bit of the, you know, we all get this way, right? It's a my guy thing in quotes, right? And so you're always willing to give those guys the benefit of the doubt. And that there's a little bit of that with Rodriguez. But what happened was Rodriguez got off to a good start, I believe, in 2022, and then hurt his knee. And so he was shooting up lists in 2022, hurt his knee, lost the rest of the season, had surgery, came back in 2023 and started off really slow. And he came back. So he was in single A in 2022 and started in high A. So he only had like 40 something games in single A, and they put him coming back rusty in 2023 at the next level. And I think that depressed his value. Right. No doubt about it. I'm not going to, you know, fool anyone or by saying, you know, he's the best at this and that and that. He's got his flaws. Right. He's got some of that three true outcome type of profile. He can mash home runs. He's got an easy power swing. He'll take an ungodly amount of walks. He can be overly patient. But that leads to him being in bad counts, and he'll, you know, falling behind, and he'll strike out a fair amount. Right. But as the season has gone along, his strikeout rate has continued to drop. You know, I think if you look at like, you know, after 150 plate appearances, if you cut it off there and push it to from there to now, he's like 25% strikeout rate or less, something along those lines. And his walk rate, you know, is, you know, close to 20%. His OBP, he's hitting like, you can put all the stats together for the year, you know, the bad with the good. He's only hitting like 225 or something like that, but his OBP is almost 400, right?
Wow.
So his profile has that floor, that very, very strong floor. And then he's got that easy power to on top of it. So yeah, he may be ranked high, and this is probably his ceiling, but his, you know, for a minute there, that helium was really strong in 2022. And I'm seeing that helium start to come back around as the more astute observers start ignoring that first 6 weeks of 2023.
Okay. Yeah, no, it seems like he's starting to make adjustments, and that's what I've been hearing as well, that, you know, he's kind of finally showing it, but he's got that great eye. And if he can be a little more aggressive, he's going to really surprise some people.
Yeah. I'm pretty excited. And like I said, I don't know if I finished my thought, but in 2022, at the beginning of 2022, I was on another podcast talking about the hobby and prospect cards. And at the end of it, the host said, who are you buying under, you know, $50 right now for a base Bowman auto? And I said, you can get Emmanuel Rodriguez first Bowman autos for $20 right now. So that's an easy buy for me. He's Oh, really? He's like, I'm going to go buy one right now. Just like you guys said, he went on eBay and he bought the card while we were on the podcast. And I haven't checked in lately, but I'm pretty sure that it wasn't a bad buy. I know it wasn't a bad buy when that healing went crazy kind of in the spring of 2022. And you know, if he's back under $50, again, I haven't checked recently, but if he's back down there, it you could do a lot worse.
Oh yeah. And there's still room to go up. Absolutely.
Yep.
So looking, you know, we love the deep cut names kind of on the back end of the list. If you were to pick a guy in the back 50 to make a big climb by next year, who are you looking at?
Yeah. I mean, look, some of those names you already mentioned, right? It's the Rainer Ariuses and the Joendry Vargas, right? I think those guys have a ton of helium and they could easily get into the top 50. There's plenty of names there for me. I love Luis Baez. I don't know if you've seen him, but he's a big boy, hits ball far. Mm-hmm. You know, his power is super easy power. There's been hit tool questions, but that hasn't been a problem for him yet. So, you know, that may come as he faces more advanced pitching, but I he's not going to see advanced pitching probably before the end of this season. So he's going to put up some gaudy numbers and the hobby hype's going to build. Right. And so that'll probably push him into the top 50. A couple of other guys I really like, you know, a new guy on this list this time around for us, from before the preseason, guy that I loved in 2021 Bowman draft. Unfortunately, he didn't have autos. He was base only, was Daylen Lyle for the Nationals. Just because he does everything well. And he had the foundation of the hit tool. Like the hit tool was really, really good from what I saw at the prep level. And unfortunately he had Tommy John in 2022. So that season was gone for him. But he's still 20 years old. You know, he crushed single A. He just got promoted to high A. He was off top 30 list for the Nationals or at the end of it. And for most part, he's back in kind of that top 10 territory in a really, really strong national system because they've traded for everyone. Right. So, you know, he's like a 280, 2020 type of guy. He's not going to be a top 10 guy, but he can get into that top 50 and still probably return some value. And then the last one I'll leave this question with is Xavier Isaac. You know, that's just an interesting one all around. I mean, we were all kind of like, what is going on here? And the information was so small. You know, he got hurt, I think in 2022, and then he was playing against weak competition, so he didn't get much time in the All-Star circuit for the preps. And then the Rays took him. We're like, what's going on? And then the Rays traded Kyle Manzardo, and you're like, Xavier Isaac is, yeah, probably part of that reason that they're like, okay, we've got another guy that we're 100% confident in can do the job. And you know, he's got double plus raw power. And he's starting to, you know, show that, you know, it's, the Prospects Live has a data tool called PLive Plus. And that tool has, going back to the previous question, that tool has Emmanuel Rodriguez as the number one player right now in all of the prospects out there, right? Jackson Holliday is number two, right? Maybe after tonight's game where Jackson Holliday went 5 for 6, it flip-flops, but...
Kid's a monster.
I know. But Xavier Isaac is a top 30 guy in the PLive Plus rankings. That's ranking every level of minor league baseball, including the DSL. So, I think with Isaac's skill set of being a power bat, that's, you know, and people having that same train of thought that I just had about Manzardo being packed, you know, out to Cleveland, that people are going to look deeper at Xavier Isaac and check his numbers, and he can put up some gaudy stuff if he gets that power going. So
we talked a little bit about Isaac on the last episode, didn't we, Philly?
We did. Yeah. I mean, I went out and grabbed one of the out of 125 parallels just this week. And, you know, I think I got it for like $11, just kind of threw a bid at it. And there we go.
I think we both know all my Tampa Bay Rays money went to a different guy, but that's coming up here in just a second.
Oh, Mr. Caminero, you've stolen our hearts and wallets.
Yes, indeed.
So I guess last question for you, you know, we don't have a checklist yet, but who are you most looking forward to having a first Bowman Chrome this year?
Yeah. So specific to Bowman Chrome, it's so look, I'm a Giants fan, right? And so now that for whatever reason, you know, Topps pulled their head out of you know where and got Kyle Harrison a first Bowman card for me in the spring release. About time, right? So from a Giants perspective, right? It's Rainer Arias, as I mentioned. I'm really hoping Rainer gets in 2023 Bowman Chrome. If I'm looking forward to Bowman draft, right? I've got Bryce Eldridge, who's you know high risk, high reward, right? He's light tower power with long levers, you know, very Spencer Jones-ish, and then Walker Martin, right? Who's prep shortstop, bat speed for days, no real weaknesses. You know, just above average tools at the very least across the board. So those are my Giants guys for Chrome and draft that I'm hoping I see. From the non-Giants guys, right, I'm not the type of guy that wants to play at the high end of the market. So I'm not going to be in on the top four hitters, right? And who knows if Dylan Cruz even gets there from Bowman draft, from right. the MLB draft, right? So Dylan Cruz... second overall pick, he's probably going to end up in 2024 Bowman because that's what Topps likes to do with their second picks overall. But Max Clark, Wyatt Langford, Walker Jenkins, those are all going to be big bucks, right? But again, you know, from a Chrome perspective, again, Joe Andrew Vargas for sure. I know people are going to be chasing Maia and Solis. Again, I'm not playing at the top end of that market. And Chrome is full of DSL and complex guys that I just don't do deep dives on until I, you know, get the opportunity to know that I'm going to be looking at them in a product. Mm-hmm. So I kind of hold off on like getting my hopes up for those guys because sometimes you never even see them. I mean, what did we wait like 3 years for George Valera? And at the end of the day, it was kind of like ho-hum by the time we mm-hmm. finally got him. Mm-hmm. But from a Bowman draft perspective, right, we already kind of know or have a really good idea who we're going to see, right? You're going to see about 75% of the top three or four rounds of the draft, right? And so I'm really looking forward to, you know, what I hope isn't going to be so expensive like those guys that I mentioned earlier. And like they went right after one after the other in the first round, 20, 21, and 22. Arjun Namala, the Blue Jays. Prep shortstop that can pretty much do anything. And the biggest question is if his hit tool will stick, but I think it will. And he's got the power. Chase Davis with the Cardinals. Yeah. You know, University of Arizona guy. I was into him when the 2020 draft happened and you know, there was a bunch of prep guys that just said, we're not going to play around with this 5-round draft and went to school instead. Right. Dylan Cruz, Chase Davis, Kevin Parada, I think, you know, just there was a bunch of those guys. And I'm like, I really wanted to get their Bowmans when they came into that draft class. Cause I was in on them and they didn't end up happening. So Chase Davis, I mean, I've heard the comps of kind of like a Carlos Gonzalez type, you know, just do everything type of player. And I totally see it. And then Cole Emerson for the Mariners, the prep shortstop, following in along the lines of the one they picked last year in Cole Young, right? Just hit tools for days, but Emerson's got more power. So he's more attractive if everything comes together. And he's currently in the complex right now. And one of our guys that's really focused on, the complex, Alex, Juicy Jensen, you know, a couple of days ago did a deep dive in on him and said basically that he reminds him a bit of Corey Seager. So that again, you know, comps are what they are, but they help kind of center us around where these prospect tool sets lie. So yeah, those are kind of the guys that I'm really looking forward to coming up in draft. And then, like I said, from a Chrome perspective, it's just Rainer Arias for me, hopefully, and then we'll find out when I get into it. Just like in 2021 Chrome, I had no idea who Emmanuel Rodriguez was, and I wasn't looking forward to him. And then suddenly, it's like, oh, he's on the checklist along with all these other guys. Let me do my deep dive, and I'm like, okay, I came away from that going, you know, the lower end, cheaper guys where I like to play, give me Emmanuel Rodriguez and Ezequiel Tovar. Those were the two guys that I was like, the cheap guys that I want. I don't want anything to do with Wilman Diaz and Luis Rodriguez. And, you know, there was a few others there that just like, I mean, look at 2019 Bowman Chrome. I mean, Freudis Nova was one of the main chases, and he just retired like a week ago, right? So that is the gambling, most gambling product of a first Bowman there is Bowman Chrome. So I really, really wait until that checklist comes out before I start saying, I think this guy's worth doing a deep dive for everyone.
I'm glad, yeah. Philly. I'm glad you brought up player comps, and I got a couple questions I'm gonna jump into on some player comps. Philly, you got some for him before I jump in?
Have at it, my friend.
All right. So Philly did a great job of asking you great general questions that are helpful to anybody in the hobby. You don't know me that well, my man, Joe. I appreciate you coming on. I'm gonna ask you some strictly selfish, self-interest questions that revolve around people that I've spent money on in the hobby. So this is gonna be me and you for just a second. And it's a fun way for me is player comps, right? And I'm glad you brought up the player comps. So you know what I mean. I'll throw out a couple names, and maybe you could tell me who you think, you know, with some comps for these guys. And just know ahead of time that I'm listening intently because these are guys I got money on the line, bro. If you want afterwards, I can show you some slabs and stuff and some eBay sales history, et cetera. But in either case, easy off the top, Jackson Churio.
Yeah, you know, he's it's funny. Like I was so into Jackson Churio and I It was so disappointing that he didn't have an auto in 2022 Bowman that I just didn't get in enough in Brewers breaks and my local card pod co-host Ryan Regal, he bought like every Brewers break he could possibly get into until the price went insane, because I told him Churio's my guy here, and I didn't think Churio was going to blow up like he did, and he absolutely blew up. And to me, there's Acuña there. Now, the one thing that he doesn't have that Acuña does is like a double plus arm, right? I don't think, but again, I don't really care. The hit, the power, the hit, the power, and the speed is all there, and that's Acuña, right? I mean, there's a couple of hobby archetypes and players that we want to chase, and Acuña is one of them, right? Mm-hmm. Otani, you're not going to find that, so there's no reason trying to peg a prospect as an Otani comp. But that's what I saw when I was watching. You know, to a certain degree, it was also a little bit of Vlad Guerrero, not the junior, but the senior. When I was watching Churio's DSL tapes. It's funny, a good hobby friend of mine's like, what did you see? Show me what you saw for you to go and tell everyone that would listen to that Churio was your guy in this product before even anyone was talking about him. Like, watch this at bat. And he hit the ball out when he was basically on his knee. You know, he was so flexible and able to manipulate his body that it was just that natural athleticism. And again, there may not be like the exact same swing or look as Acuña, but the output to me is that type of a potential 40-40 type of guy.
I'll take that all day long, twice on Sunday. I have a Bowman Chrome Mega Box Mojo Auto of Churio, orange, PSA 10. So, nice. Yeah, man, it's the pull of my lifetime. So I bring it up every episode, so I'm just keeping the trend going. So another guy, Samuel Zavala with the Padres.
Yeah, you know, Zavala's got some of that how do I say it? He's got that same thing that Emmanuel Rodriguez kind of has, right? Where they're just too patient, right? At the plate, their eye is so good. But Zavala's not got that like easy power. He's just smooth. Everything he does is very smooth. I don't know a comp off the top of my head. I'm struggling with a comp. I mean, it's more of like the he had the eye of Soto, but it's not Soto. I don't want to say Soto because he doesn't have a 70 hit tool. He doesn't have a double plus hit tool, but he's got that eye, right? Where every video I watched of him, now granted I haven't watched him hardly at all this year, and it seems like he's been a bit more challenged. But last year when I was watching his tape, he knew what was a ball and strike every single time. You know, he could tell the umpire what, you know, he knew what the umpire was going to call every time. So he's got that eye, and to a certain degree, right? Soto's only shown, you know, 30 plus home run power, like, you know, on occasion, right? And he's can be overly patient as well. So there's a little bit of that. So maybe like a Soto light.
Okay. And that's kind of what drew me to him as well, was the low K rates. And that kind of explains that. All right. Last one, the darling of the podcast, my personal Bowman bet of the year, Junior Caminero.
Yeah. So Caminero is, you know, he's electric, right? And it's funny, back in last year for a good while, we had Cole Wilcox and Nick Schnell of the Rays, Rays prospects, doing a podcast on the Prospects Live Network because they were both going through rehab. And they were talking about guys hitting, you know, that they, you know, Cole was facing at the complex as he's rehabbing, and they're just like, you know, they basically spoke, they, all they said was Junior, and they would just say in terms of reverence about kind of how naturally talented he could smash the ball out of the park, right? And it just came with ease for the guy. And so, you know, who out there just can hit the ball without even thinking out of the park? And you're like, you know, to a certain degree, that's like, and I think he's, at the end of the day, his batting average is going to be much better. But to me, it's kind of like a Kyle Schwarber, right? Where it's just like, the guy doesn't even have to try. He's just pushing the ball out of the park. Maybe, you know, Schwarber, Jorge Soler, Adelis Garcia, that kind of profile. I don't think Caminero is going to run like Adelis, which is why I didn't want to mention him. But but Adelis, you're just like, how does he always smash the ball out of the park? It's just because it's that easy, you know, natural power that he has. So it's kind of in that area for me. But nice. You know, it doesn't sound sexy, but it's weird how the hobby discounts guys who can hit 40 home runs, because that's what we want. And then those guys hit 40 home runs and you're like, why aren't their cards selling for more? It's a very strange dichotomy. And to a certain degree, right, it circles back around to what we said, right? There's got to be that team context, right? There's got to be that hype. There's got to be that pedigree. And to a certain degree, right? Adelis didn't have any of that. Schwarber had it, but he kind of fell off. He delivered at first, and then he fell off, and the hobby never forgave him, right? And Soler took forever to get to that point, right? Mm-hmm. So it's I'm looking at them as they are today, not where they kind of started or where they've been, mm-hmm. right?
Man, I appreciate, and just so everybody knows, he has zero prep for any of those. I just threw them all those at the last minute. And I do that to Philly all the time. I have this thing where you guys are just like walking Wikipedia. So I just want to type a name into it. And you just download it and be like, all right. So, and I mean, the fact that I could even just pull Samuel Zavala out of my ass and you could tell me he has a great eye for the strike zone is impressive in and of itself. So, hey man, we thank you again for coming on. I appreciate you, you know, taking the time out. Philly, why don't you go ahead and sign him out?
Yeah, Joe, where can we find you out in the internet, and where can we read your work? Give us all the plugs.
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter, look at me saying Twitter here. X, what the bird app, whatever you want to call it, at jhook, J-H-0-0-K. And all my work is at Prospects Live. You go there. There's a baseball card section. Both myself and Max will be posting stuff there on the regular, on the Prospects Live X feed, or whatever you want to call it. I also post a card of the day just for a little bit of fun, showing off some of my collection, just having a little engagement and fun. Today actually was a Leaf Pop Century release day, which isn't really a baseball release, but it's a fun one. I like the hobby in general. Not, you know, I like everything about it, right? I'm there for the money and the cards and the investments. That's all part of it, but I also like to have fun with it. And some of that fun is with the non-baseball stuff. So I also post some non-baseball cards as well on my personal feed. But today's card was a card that I pulled back in 2019, I think, or 2020 of maybe it was even 21. It was a six auto card of six of the kid actors from The Sandlot.
So, oh, that's badass. That's badass.
Yeah. So check that out, you know, never hesitate to hit me up on the app, whatever you want to call it. I love talking baseball. I love talking cards, prospects, you name it. You know, it was awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right.
Thanks. Oh yeah. Thanks, Joe. So Bowman Chrome, man, Bowman Chrome. I think I'm still paying off some debt from some Bowman Chrome from last year. So let me tell you a little bit about what Bowman Chrome was like last year, give you an indication of what Bowman Chrome might be like this year. Does that sound all right?
Absolutely. Let's give it all a right. rundown.
So you got four actually release formats. So Bowman Chrome, you're not going to find blaster boxes. You're not going to find jumbo fat packs like you find for Bowman. Really only thing you're going to find in terms of retail are the mega boxes. Pretty much the same format as the Bowman mega boxes. You got your two Mojo packs and then a bunch of base packs. The base packs suck. There's no hits. There's no autos. There's no color. There's no anything good. If you're just into it for first paper Bowmans and first chrome Bowmans, do your thing. But other than that, you're not pulling any color. You're not pulling any autos out of those base packs. Those go for about $45. Then you go to your LCS or Tops Online or something else, and you can get into your hobby boxes, which is the only other format that it's available. So you got your hobby box, comes with two autos. Price was anywhere from $220 to $250, depending on where you grabbed it. You got your hobby light version, which is no guaranteed autos, no guaranteed hits, but you got your little black and white diamond refractors, which are pretty cool. Those were anywhere from $99 to $149. And then you got my personal favorite format, because I am a true degenerate. You got the HTA, aka the jumbo box, whatever you want to call it. And that's got three autos, but it's got nothing else. So you open that bad boy up. It's got one of those little plastic snap cases. You open it up. It's got three cards, and those are the only cards in the whole damn box. That box is about $300 to $350.
But guaranteed hits. I mean, that's
three guaranteed hits. So, you know, to go from the hobby box to the HTA, it's a little bit more of an investment. You get your three autos instead of two. Generally speaking, at least two of those three are parallels. Generally speaking, now I don't know if there's a recipe to that, but in my experience, you're going to get a base, you're going to get a couple of parallels.
They try to make it worthwhile, but you know, it's kind of a matter of opinion sometimes too, I guess.
Oh, I've pulled some, you know, I've opened some, and I swear to God, HTA stands for hold this ass, because that's exactly what you got when you're done opening that box. So yeah, Bowman Chrome is a big, big fun checklist every year. You're going to have all these international signings in there. You might get a couple of guys, you know, that are not international signings in there, but you'll have 100 prospects and 100 vets. That's generally your breakdown of the checklist. So why don't you tell me a little bit about some of these kids that are going to be in there, Philly?
Yeah, you know, we're still waiting for the official checklist, of course, and, you know, hoping some of these guys don't get held out till next year's Bowman, but you never know. And again, this is all, you know, recent international guys, recent signees. You know, the draft guys are going to be in Bowman draft later in the year. It's usually like more of a holiday release. So first one, you know, we said earlier, Ethan Salas. You know, there's not enough hyperbole and comps to put on this guy. If you don't know, you better ask somebody, because, I mean, this guy, he's going to make you a few bucks.
Yeah, he looks like a monster, and there's not too much I could say about him we haven't said already. What about that kid with the Giants, Rainer Arias?
Yeah, you know, Joe was talking about this a bit in our interview. You know, he's a Giants prospect this year, 58 at-bats in the DSL, had almost a 1,400 OPS. He's out for the rest of the season with a wrist injury, but he should be back in time for fall instructs. So next year, you know, you're going to see him probably in A-ball. Huge power, great hit tool. Just an absolute monster so far. We'll see how it pans out. I mean, there's plenty of guys that have gone on to crush the DSL that don't turn into all-stars. There's plenty that, you know, it's just the first stop on the way. So we'll see.
Yeah, and I like, you know, I like Joe a lot, but I hate the Giants a lot. So it shows you how much I like Joe. tell me about Sebastian Walcott with the Rangers.
Yeah, this guy, you know, 2-3 weeks ago, if we did this show, he'd probably be the number one, like, helium prospect, as they like to say out there. You know, he wasn't doing too great in the DSL, but they brought him over to the Complex League. All of a sudden, he starts hitting with a 950 OPS, 7 homers in his first 30 games. This guy is a shortstop from the Bahamas, you know, 6'4", got that frame that's going to grow into more power. You know, I would say be careful right now when you're reading about prospects from the Bahamas, because everybody wants to put the Jazz Chisholm comp on there because he's from the Bahamas. But that's a pretty lazy comp. I mean, the guy, you know, maybe Carlos Correa type thing. He's looking at 60 grade power. He's, you know, he's going to need to cut down his K rate. He's at 38% right now against a 7% walk rate. So there is a little discrepancy there, but the power is huge. The hit tool is real. He can feel the position. You know, and he's playing against guys that are 3-4 years older than him too. And he's getting his first, you know, taste of action in the States. So a lot to like there, but you know, there's some flags.
And I always like to look at that age, you know, versus a competition. I think that that's an important and maybe often overlooked stat. I think that that's something you really have to pay attention to. Just because the guy's, you know, struggling a little bit in high A or double A. But if he's 19 and everybody else is 22, that's something you need to think about. So here's a homer pick for you. Felmin Celestin, you know, shortstop for the Mariners. He's not a Philly guy, guys. He's not a Philly guy.
Yeah, I mean, so this guy right behind Salas for a while was the number two pick or the number two prospect in the 2023 signing class. A lot of the tools people are saying he's maybe the best middle infield prospect in the last 10 years. That includes guys like Wander Franco. So he's switch hitter, shortstop, 5-tool upside. The hit tool is already present. You know, so for those of you that have heard the upside, 5-tool upside with guys like Robert Person, Poisson never had the hit tool, and people were just hoping it would come along. Celestine's got it already. So, you know, you're not having to worry about that as much. There's a little less risk than those guys. The only downside is he's been hurt this year and he hasn't played yet. So any video footage, any, you know, stuff out there that you've seen on him has been from a year ago taking, you know, BP swings or just doing Dominican Summer League ball. So hopefully next year he comes back healthy. Maybe they get him into short season or get him stateside.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, that all sounds pretty exciting. You damn Mariners, the rich get richer, it seems like. Speaking of the rich and their wealth of riches, tell me about this kid in the Dodgers system, 6'4 shortstop. Good God.
Yeah, I know. You know, Joe talked about him a little bit, and that's Joendry Vargas. You know, this guy might be a superstar, you know, with that LA market, with the tools he's got, playing a premium position. So, yeah, like you said, 6'4". He's not challenged at all by the DSL ball right now. He's got 1,000 OPS. He's got more walks than Ks, 7 homers, 16 steals. You know, like most 17-year-olds that are 6'4", he's a little bit gangly and thin, but he's going to grow into more power, more muscle. By the time he's 23, he, you know, might be a top 10 player in the game.
Yeah, and like we said, man, the Dodgers, they're doing it. They're always doing it. They find these kids and they turn them into men. Well, I guess we'll just keep the homer train going. Tell me about this kid in Seattle, this pitcher.
Okay. So admittedly, this is, you know, just a personal favorite because this guy's been so dominant this year and, you know, has just a priceless name. And that's Jeter Martinez. You know, not to be confused with Mexican player Ichiro Cano Hernandez. Gotta love the name. If he's going to be Derek Jeter and Pedro Martinez in a pitcher, we're doing something right there. But he's a big, lanky, 6'4", right-hander out of Mexico. 17 years old. He only throws 92 right now, but you know, there's a little less risk in the arm because of that. Sometimes it's better with these high school age guys to be throwing 92 and grow into velocity than actually have to be throwing 99 in high school and blow out their arms early. He has good secondary pitches, curve, changeup with good command. He's doing great, like I said, in the DSL, 12 Ks per nine, part of a combined no-hitter. But, you know, he's a guy, after watching, you know, like the Felix Hernandez Mariners Hall of Fame ceremony last night, like, why couldn't he be, you know, the next Felix for the Mariners? You know, an international prospect that starts out young, dominates, and moves up the system. I mean, we've seen how fast they move guys like Brian Wu, Emerson Hancock, Bryce Miller. They develop pitching.
Yeah, they certainly are moving in that trajectory. It's been fun to watch that system just get continuously loaded up. So the Yankees spent a bunch of money on this kid out of Cuba, Brando Maia. Where I just mispronounce everybody's name. Let's go.
That's okay. You know, at least you didn't call him Brando Mayo. It could always be worse.
That might be a fun nickname. I don't know. Wait till he gets to New York. They'll come up with something.
Always, always. Yeah, but this guy signed out of Cuba, $4.4 million. Again, you know, we talked about it a couple minutes ago with the farm systems. They aren't afraid to spend the money to get the guys they want. Right now, this kid with 80 grade speed. He can hit to all fields. He's not really rushing and selling out for power, even though he's capable. So you're just seeing a lot of line drives go everywhere. He's a young guy, but scouts think he's going to get tons of power as he grows into his body. He's going to be a five-tool threat, you know, when he does. I mean, stop me if you've heard, you know, five-tool threat for the Yankees system before, you know, all that. But here's another one. You know, as dangerous as it is putting, you know, borderline Hall of Famers as comps, some people are saying he looks like a smaller Gary Sheffield. I mean, that's absolutely insane.
That is, and that's not a comp you hear thrown around often, so that's kind of cool.
No, that's a pretty one-of-one athlete right there.
Yeah, and Gary Sheffield has my all-time favorite batting stance. I used to try to emulate that. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? I'm up here flipping a bat up behind my head. Nobody knows what's going on. All right, so Yolan Cespedes from the Red Sox system. What do you think about him? Another shortstop.
Yeah. So another, you know, slick shortstop. You know, this guy isn't necessarily like high upside, but he's been compared a lot to Howie Kendrick, who had a fantastic MLB career. You know, played solid second base, shortstop for the Angels, for the Nationals, tons of hits. But basically, he has a great approach at the plate, great numbers so far, 1,000 OPS. He's not necessarily going to be a huge power or speed threat, but he's going to be a long-time infielder, you know, with some All-Star games here and there. I mean, he's kind of like an early Brooks Lee type, where you're happy to have him on there, but he's not necessarily going to hit any, like, monster home runs or go for 40 knocks in a year.
Yeah, I don't really have any knocks on the Red Sox system. I think that they've been doing a pretty decent job of reloading lately, and they have done a good job of bringing up several significant guys, you know, over the years. So, you know, it'll be exciting to kind of see him continue to develop. Yeah, lots of good stuff there for Bowman Chrome. I'm really excited to do a breakdown once we have the checklist in hand and we can see, you know, who's going to be in the product, what the parallels look like, what the price breakdown of the boxes is. So yeah, definitely more to come on Bowman Chrome as it becomes available.
Absolutely. I mean, it's going to be a fun checklist, you know, kind of ready to deep dive on guys. And I know we're going to have Joe back on once we get the checklist and do a little bit more talk on that and, you know, maybe have some fun with it. So what do you think? Should we open the mailbag?
Yeah, I think it's a good time to open the mailbag. Last time we had Joe, I mean, every time we have Joe on, I'm going to spend half the time just on eBay adding stuff to my watch list. That guy's just a bag full of gold. So, yeah, mailbag. Here, I'll run this one. So you got Kenny, my main man, Kenny. He wants to know if we have any early predictions for next year, 2024, rookies of the year.
Yeah, so National League, you know, maybe I'm wrong because they had him start in low A, but I would probably say it's a good bet to see Dylan Cruz up in the show before long. You know, there's a lot of talk that maybe the low A thing was just a chance to get that stadium some revenue, you know, do a 10-day tour and just kind of hit all the stadiums. Like, you probably should be starting in double A, triple A anyway. Absolutely mashing. So, you know, if him and James Wood come up next year, you know, the Nationals fans are going to have something really exciting to watch. Those two might play off each other really well. And, you know, Cruz is probably ready, you know, if you stuck him in there today.
Yeah, I like Cruz a lot. I have no argument against him. I like Junior Caminero in the American League, and it's just a homer pick. If we're going to go that route, let's go all the way down it. I think he breaks camp with the team. If not, he's an early season call-up next year. And if he hits the way he's hitting, man, it's going to be Wander Franco-level hype. So that's my call.
Absolutely. One of the guys, you know, it's hard to say where he's going to land. You know, I think maybe perspective might have changed a little bit on this over the years, but one guy I'm looking at is Yoshinobu Yamamoto from Japan. He's a starting
pitcher. You didn't make me say that one.
I know, right? 3 years of Japanese, and I still probably butchered it.
There you go.
But yeah, I mean, he is, you know, number one starter upside. He probably slots in as a number two on most teams right now, though. But, you know, he pitched in the World Baseball Classic. He's been the MVP and the Cy Young Award winner over in NPB, but he's ready to come over. I mean, he's probably a notch or two above Senga. He's solid. So, you know, he puts up a good season, you know, or even an excellent season, because sometimes it's hard for those pitchers to win Rookie of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
He could be a dark horse in that.
Yeah, and I think he would have to have that combination of the performance and the hype to be able to get that Rookie of the Year, talking like a Dice K type of season, okay. You know what I mean, where he has to really captivate. And I think that, you know, coming overseas, he really has an opportunity to do that. And then anybody else you got?
You know, as much as I love your Junior Caminero pick, I wouldn't be shocked at all to see Jackson Holliday win it. You know, those two might be 1 and 2 in the race next year. You know, that lineup is so loaded. Same thing for Caminero, though. But having guys like Adley, Gunner, and everybody else hitting around you, you know, he might put up some pretty dangerous numbers. I mean, this is a guy, you know, if he gets 4 or 5 months in the bigs, he could score 100 runs, hit 320, and, you know, 15 home runs. And if they make the playoffs, that might be good enough for Holliday to win it.
Yeah, I have a hard time disagreeing with you there. I'm, you know, because of Matt Holliday, Jackson Holliday will always kind of have a special place in my heart. So I won't be mad at that. And it's like I said, it's going to be hard to argue when the kid comes up and he's just hitting 300.
Exactly.
It's kind of what I get the feeling he's just going to do, spray a lot of doubles, get on base quite a bit, play some flashy defense. It's going to be tough to argue with. All right, we got another one from Kenny. Any call-ups before the rosters expand that will help teams make the playoffs? Maybe some September guys or anybody else that might get called up you're looking at, Philly?
Yeah, so we talked about Brooks Lee a little bit earlier. I mean, the Twins are, you know, leading the division, but you know, it'll be interesting to see if they stick with Kyle Farmer and guys of that ilk at third base. I mean, Brooks Lee bat is probably about ready, so they might roll the dice in the next couple of weeks and see if that gets them, you know, a strong push, and maybe, you know, on the playoff roster. He's certainly capable. That's why they drafted him when they did. They wanted him up soon.
I really like Brooks Lee. You know, like I said, I sold out on him already, but I think that, you know, the kid just hits, and he's already kind of has that profile of an everyday major leaguer. You know, he might not come up and do Ellie type stuff, but he definitely can come up. You can plug him in. He's going to play every day. He'll go 1 for 3. You know, he you know, get you a nice move the runner over, that kind of stuff. So if they've got a hole, then I can see him filling that. Absolutely. You think the Orioles are going to call up Kerstad?
You know, unless Colton Cowser picks it up like today, I think, you know, his clock's ticking. They've given him, you know, a month to see if he can hit at the big league level, and it's just not happening yet. So at some point, you know, again, they're in contention too. They want to have the best foot forward. They have some guys that are ready. Might as well use them.
Yeah, don't disagree. And the Orioles are, I mean, they're making a push, bro, and they're playing all these kids, and they're going to play the hot hand. You think the Red Sox call up Rafaela?
I wouldn't be surprised if he got a cup of coffee. I mean, he's just torching AAA as well. You know, there's not much really holding him back. He can play great defense. He can run. That's two things that the Red Sox are needing a little bit more of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why not get a little hype, you know, at the end of the season if they're not in the playoff race? At least keep the fans entertained and, you know, bring up, you know, another young guy to go for.
And the kid is fast, man. He steals everything.
Yeah, and he's got the power potential in there too. So, I mean, you know, the Mookie Betts 2.0 thing, I mean, I don't think he's going to have their careers as Mookie, but that versatility and that mix, pretty dangerous.
And I just picked up a PSA 9 first Bowman Mojo of his for like $8 or something like that. So I'm just going to hang on to that. He's an exciting kid. And then the Reds, they might be looking for a little bit of help, try to get past these horrible-ass Brewers down the stretch. They got anybody in the pipeline coming?
They do. I mean, in the battle of ineptitude in the NL Central, I mean, the Brewers are getting a little bit stronger. They got Brandon Woodruff back. Reds are still searching for pitching. You know, Ellie's cooled off and come back down to earth a little bit. But they got this guy in AAA, Connor Phillips. I mean, he's leading the minors in strikeouts. You know, once that season wraps up, it's hard not to envision him getting a few starts in September, stretch the arms out a little bit. I mean, they're so dependent on young pitching that they probably don't want to burn these guys out anyway. So might as well see what he can do.
Yeah, and oftentimes I feel like when you get these young pitchers, they're good for flashes, right? It's not anything that's going to be sustainable long term. So you bring the kid up, you let him get two or three, four, you know, real hot starts, and then get him the hell out of there before he flames out.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, Andrew Abbott had that great start when he came up, and, you know, he's come back to earth a little bit, had a good start this last week, but before that was struggling. So, if they're still fighting, get a guy in there. You know, the major league teams don't have the book on yet. You can strike people out.
Absolutely. Man, that's I feel like a lot of information thrown out there today. A lot of names, a lot of numbers, a lot of good stuff. I got about halfway through putting our PSA submission together, bro. Kind of excited about it. You got some big boy cards in here. We talked a little bit about it on EFIS.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. I mean, you know, Jackson Holiday, that's kind of my ride or die right now in that Sapphire. I'm missing.
Yeah, he's got a nice base Jackson Holiday first Bowman Chrome Sapphire. I don't know, man. I mean, to my eye, it looks crispy. You know what I mean? It looks really sharp. But this Elite Extra Edition Auto is a beast. I mean, I think you might have a sneaky one. Got a couple nice Ohtanis. I'm gonna send in way more Junior Caminero than any responsible man ever would, and we're gonna make it work.
No, I mean, I can't wait till, you know, either next March when he's, you know, top of the rankings again, or when he gets called up, do the live pod. If you listen to all the Junior Camineros and the reactions and everything, it's going to be a blast.
Yeah, we'll do a live YouTube reveal when the grades come in, and then we'll go live when I'm listing all the cards on eBay and just let everybody watch my face. Maybe by then we'll get some video podcast going. I think that's something we've been kind of whispering about a little bit. If you want to see my ugly mug and me and Philly with all our kids and cats and dogs in the background and all that fun type of stuff.
Yeah, I know. We might have to sprint for some backdrops and some green screen graphics if that comes to it.
God forbid we become professional at any point in time. Well, Philly, it's been another good one, man. I want to shout out to the Discord. That's really the spot to be. You guys are on it, man, all day long. Good conversation, good talks, good sales, good trades. Just, you know, a lot of help. And Reddit baseball card subreddit, shout out to you degenerates as well. Philly, my man, you put this all together, you know, getting the interviews, locking down my man Joe. Big shout out to Joe for coming through.
Absolutely. And, big thanks to Joe Lowry for providing that juicy interview there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm proud of myself for containing my geekness and just not fanning out too much while he was on, because I've been reading his stuff like it was written in a church. Thanks again, Philly, man. I appreciate you.
TJ, it's always a pleasure.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk to y'all in a couple weeks.